Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, June 18th, 2020. On The Cross in the Desert this morning, I want to take us back 11 years. 11 years ago, on June 20th, 2009, June 20th, 2009 was a day that changed my life forever. There was an event in Tehran, Iran, during the bloody, violent presidential protest election that called me into the ministry that I'm doing today as being a voice of Iranians. It was the tragic death of Neda Aga Sultan, a young Iranian woman who was peacefully protesting in an alleyway in Tehran and was shot by a member of the besieged from the rooftop, shot and killed. And the video of her death as she lay on the pavement bleeding to death was seen by millions of people on YouTube all over the world. And it was this video that I watched so many times that just had such an impact on me that it called me into being a voice for the Iranian people, which is what I'm doing today. The Iranians believed that when President Ahmadinejad was reelected on June of 2009, they believed the election was rigged to the streets. And the result of them going to the street was the military, the Iran Revolutionary Guard, shot and killed so many of them and wounded so many of them. It was one of the most bloodiest events in Iran since the revolution. And it was one young Iranian girl who was never political, never participated in these kind of events, that decided one day she had to go and speak for her people. I want to tell this story from two different angles, from those that accompanied Neda on that day and from her fiancé, how they met, how their lives were changed, and how it impacted his life, and I'm speaking of Caspian McCann. So first, before we do that, on this special tribute day to Neda Aga Sultan, I want to take us to this bloody death in the alleyway in Tehran. She was accompanied by a doctor, and this is what happened on that day, June 20th, 2009. Let's listen.
Her fiancé says Neda Sultan was killed on her way to a music lesson. When she was shot, a doctor, Arash Hejazi, rushed out of the crowd to try to save her. He's the man in the white shirt. Dr. Hejazi is now in Britain and he's been speaking to the BBC about what happened.
Her blood was draining out of her body, and I was just putting pressure on the wounds to try to stop the bleeding, which wasn't successful, unfortunately. And she died in less than 1 minute.
Dr. Hejazi says that some of the crowd caught a man they thought had killed her.
They were afraid to expose themselves to the police. So they just let him go, and they took his identity cards. I don't know those people who took their identity card, but I know that there are people there who know who he is.
As he tried to save her, he was scared.
She was 1 meter away from me. That bullet could have hit me. And that guy or that person who had shot her could have been still there. So it was the first time in my life that I really felt the fear of death. And I was feeling so bad about myself because I felt that I'm having this fear. And she's dead. I don't want her blood to have been shed in vain. She died on the street to say something. And the fact that the image has traveled so fast around the world, it means something. It means that there is a message there.
What happened to Neda and the others who were killed has scared many, though not all, supporters of the opposition off the streets. They've had a message today from Mir Hussein Mousavi, the man they think won the election. Now, this is Mr. Mousavi's website, and it's got a picture on it of demonstrators being beaten by some kind of plainclothes policeman. On the website, he calls on his supporters to act within the law, but he says the election was a fraud and that the fraudsters are responsible for all of the bloodshed. Now, that's a not-so-veiled reference to the leadership and to the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. And for Iran, that is very defiant talk. For many Iranians, Neda Sultan is a martyr, and that makes her a powerful symbol in this country. The question is whether this crisis will take more lives.
That is commemorating the death of Neda Aga Sultan from June 20th, 2009. What I want to do right now is read from the Daily Beast, a publication just this past January, revisiting this momentous day on June 20th, 2009, the death of Neda. And in the article from the Daily Beast is a story from Caspian Makan, Neda's fiance, recalling how they met and how their lives transformed each other together. And so what I want to do is I want to read from this article because I want you to hear from Caspian Makan all about Neda, all about their time together, and all about that horrible day that I know he wants to forget in so many ways because it's so painful. And so Caspian begins in the article of the Daily Beast about their chance meeting, he calls it, in the same bus in Turkey. They were really beautiful sights on the road, Caspian told the Daily Beast. I was taking pictures of a rainbow and heard a beautiful voice of a young lady from the back seat talking to me about the beauties of nature. We had more than 1 hour, Caspian says, a very warm conversation without being able to see each other's faces because of the position of the seats on the bus. Only when the bus arrived at Kuzdazi was first sound followed by the first sight of Neda. Even the given name was perfect for this woman whose beauty he heard before he saw. Neda in Persian means inner voice, our spiritual voice, Caspian later told the Daily Beast. They proved to have flown in on the same plane from Iran, he to photograph ancient artifacts, she simply on vacation. We were together in Turkey for 9 days, and we were happy that we had found each other as we had many things in common, he recalled. We went back to Iran, and our relationship got more serious, and we started living in my apartment together. Love at first sound was leading to two becoming one. She hoped one would then become three. It was her wish for us to have a baby so much that we even had chosen a name for it, Caspian recalled. The choice was accompanied by a hunch regarding the gender. We chose Jupan as a boy's name because we thought so, he said, recalling how they decided on that name together. That June, Iran's hardline president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, ran for another term in what was widely viewed as a rigged election. Netta Aga Sultan was one of an estimated 500,000 Iranians who took to the streets in protest despite warnings from the regime's supreme leader, Al-Khamenei. A day before, dictator Mullah Khamenei, in his speech, had instructed the forces to crack down on the protesters, Makan recalled. Aga Sultan was among those who vowed not to be intimidated. She said, quote, "I'll go, even if a bullet hit my heart," Makan remembered. Makan says that he ventured on his own into the crowds to take pictures, even though photographs and photographers had been banned. The security forces were brutally hitting everyone who were on the way, even those who were just passing through, he later reported. They threw an old lady on the ground who was hardly able to stand on her feet with a cane in her hand. They were breaking the windows of the houses and the cars with their batons to give people fright. The bad became dire. The security forces started shooting at people, and the clashes were intensified, McCann later recalled. I got more worried about Netta. The telephone lines were disconnected in the areas clashes were happening. There was no way to communicate. 12 hours later, his cell phone rang. The display said Netta was calling, but it was her sister, Hoda. "Caspian, Netta is gone," she said by his account. "What do you mean Netta's gone?" he asked. "She got shot," the sister said. Makan began screaming. Aga Sultan's mother, Zore, came on the line. "Caspian, they took Netta away from us," she said. The regime forbade any memorial service for this young woman whose death was witnessed by millions on YouTube. "We were not even allowed to hold a private memorial for Netta in her parents' house," Makan reported. Only a few loved ones were permitted at the burial in grave number 32 at Behrshet Izara Cemetery in Tehran. There came what he describes as, quote, "the most painful moments in my life. I was standing right next to her body," he would remember. "I couldn't believe that she was my Netta. Her face was strangely in pain, and it looked so sad." His love at first sound was forever silenced. Netta had sang for me a few times, and she seriously had a nice and pleasant voice, even when she was just talking, McCann said later. "I wish I had her voice now. We had decided to record her voice in an audio studio reading some of my poems, but she was gone before her wishes came true." But in the days ahead, protesters came by the thousands to the grave. The security forces dispersed them again and again. People were getting attacked, arrested, and at least one person got killed at her grave, McCann said. The security forces even turned their guns on the graves itself. "You can't believe the guards shot at her gravestone and disrespected her," McCann said. 6 days after Aga Sultan's killing, the security forces raided McCann's home, setting up snipers on the surrounding rooftops. His archive of photographs, 10,000 largely of nature and historical sites, were seized. He was thrown into Evin prison. He spent a fortnight in cell number 34, often wishing he had himself been killed and buried number grave number 32. McCann was blindfolded when taken to other parts of the prison, but the ears that had once thrilled at Aga Sultan's sweet tunes were filled with the screams of protesters under interrogation. His own interrogation swung between being hit and being offered ice cream and being threatened with execution as his captors pressured him to say that Aga Sultan had been on a suicide mission for a subversive group. The regime, in the meantime, had been making the bizarre claim that she and other demonstrators had secreted vials of blood in their mouths so they could make it look like they were bleeding internally as they sprawled on the street. Thanks to pressure from Amnesty International and others, he was granted bail. Aga Soltan had loved sunrises, and he began visiting her grave at daybreak, slipping away before the guards arrived. He did not want to leave Iran and the cause for which she died, but he understood that he would be thrown back in prison if he did not keep quiet. He finally was unable to endure the enforced silence. He went to Turkey, where he had first met Aga Soltan, but this time continued on to Canada despite the regime's efforts to have the Turkish authorities return him to Iran. He pledged to continue wearing black in memory of Aga Soltan and all other victims of the regime. In November of last year, which is 2019, a hike in gasoline prices was met by protests in Tehran and other cities across Iran, where people stopped their cars and simply sat. The security forces responded by murdering hundreds, perhaps more than 1,500. As many as a third of them were women. Netta planted herself in the ground like a seed, Makan told the Daily Beast. Now we are seeing the other young people, especially girls, growing on Netta's plant and bravely standing against the religious dictatorship regime. So Netta's way has continued. Among the dead in the protests of 2019 was 14-year-old Nikta Esfandani, who loved music and theater. She was finally shot in the head on November 16th. The regime decreed that due to her youth, the family would not be billed for the cost of the bullet, as was the standard practice. She was buried in the same cemetery as Aga Soltan. Thousands more protesters were reported jailed, many in the same prison where Makan was held. I know very well what the hell is there, he told the Daily Beast. Every moment I wish I was killed like my fiance in the street instead of being arrested. Women were even more at the forefront of the protests that began on Sunday. A young woman's blood was again spilled at the edge of Azadi Square. This week, Makan said he would continue to wear black as long as Iran is controlled by a regime he calls, quote, the original version of ISIS. A message was posted online by someone who identified herself as Aga Soltan's sister and speaks as an Iranian of the Iran that survives despite the regime. I am alive, but my sister was killed. She wanted the wind to blow into her hair. She wanted to be free. She wanted to hold her head high up and say, I am Iranian. My sister died because there is no life left. My sister died because there is no end to tyranny. A very incredible article published by the Daily Beast this past January, featuring Caspian Makan recalling that very dreadful, painful day on June 20th, 2009, when Netta was senselessly killed and her fame spread all over the world. I know this video has transformed my life. I want you now to hear an interpreter as Caspian Makan is being interviewed shortly after this event. Here is Caspian.
On Saturday, Neda was with her music teacher at a place far from where people were clashing with the police. They were caught in a heavy traffic jam for an hour. It was hot, and Neda was tired, so she got out of the car to get some fresh air and some rest. Unfortunately, shortly afterwards, she was shot, and the bullet hit her heart and part of her lungs. A few minutes later, she passed away on the way to hospital. She was killed at a place where there were no clashes. Unfortunately, this was done by the forces that belonged to Basij. She had previously taken part in some silent demonstrations, but was not affiliated to any of the parties, neither Ahmadinejad nor Mousavi. Her goal was only one thing, and that was freedom for people. The reason why we think Basij did this is because in our country, people do not have the right to bear arms, as in some countries, like the United States. Besides, the person who shot her was seen by people, and he was wearing plain clothes. If that person was a police member, then according to the laws in our country, police wear uniforms. During these protests, it was only the besieged who were wearing plain clothes and were also carrying guns. Besides, ordinary people do not carry guns and shoot an innocent girl. If she was shot by ordinary people, why 3 days after her death had the government taken no measures to find out who killed her? The government authorities know that she was shot by a member of their own forces. That's why they did not allow any funeral or commemoration services to be held for her at a mosque or even at her family house.
That is Caspian McCann, the fiance of Netta, recalling that very most painful day and putting the blame squarely on the besieged and the security forces. Netta was shot by her own people, standing up peacefully, protesting against the election and standing up for freedom for all Iranians. And today on this special tribute to Netta, I want to feature a beautiful song by Sarah McLachlan. It's often said of Netta, she is the angel of Iran, and this is a very appropriate song for Netta, angel of Iran. Let's listen.
Some reason to feel not good enough.
This Saturday, June 20th, will be the 11-year anniversary on the very day that Neda Aga Sultan was shot and murdered by her own people in Tehran, Iran. Iran's national poet, Simeon Bahbahani, has said of Neda, "You are neither dead nor will you die. You will always remain alive. You have eternal existence. You are the voice of the people of Iran." Simeon Bahbahani, which was Iran's national poet. In my book, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran, I have a special tribute to Neda. And at the end, there are the lyrics to the chorus of a song that fits who Neda is so perfectly, and I want to read them to you. "There is a rose that was silenced, that was crushed, but it will grow again. The sun will shine again. You gave us hope, gave us freedom, gave us life. Your life will never end. The rose will live again. The sun is going to shine again. The rose is going to live again. Give me wings of freedom so I can fly. I want to fly high. I want to soar. Give me wings of freedom or let me die. I want to touch the sky. I want to soar." Dedicated to Neda and all Iranians, the Rose of Nowruz. This has been a very special day where we remember those whose lives have transformed us. And as I think of Neda and I think of what I do today, her name is appropriately in Persian that means voice, voice calling. It was on that day, June 20th, 2009, that the voice called me, the voice of Neda, and says, "Be a voice for my people." And I feel that way, very, very convinced. Caspian and Neda are two very special people in my life. They will always be special people forever, because they represent and stand for the freedom of all Iranians. Thank you so much, Caspian, for allowing me to give this special tribute to Neda on this very important day. I want to say God bless you. Thank you all for listening to The Cross in the Desert. Have yourself an incredible weekend, and I will see you again on Monday on The Cross in the Desert. God bless you.